This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد قال رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام المؤمن القوي خير وأحب إلى الله من المؤمن الضعيف. He said عليه الصلاة والسلام that the strong believer is better and Allah loves him more than the weak believer. And that should tell us on its own that strength, in particular the strength of Iman, which produces all types of strength afterwards, is a goal and a desire for anyone who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet when you look at us today, it is hard to find that strength is something that we have and we enjoy that is in abundance. Not only at the level of the ummah, but on the level of the individual as well. And the ummah is just a product of individuals coming together. So when you look at the ummah, individual countries or collectively, you know that we don't really have control over what happens, not in the world and not even in our own lands. Somebody else, somewhere else, controls what happens to us. We're completely weak at their mercy. Political events in another country determines what happens in our countries, not what we decide, but what somebody decides for us. And that's absolute weakness. And when you notice that, you then wonder, how can we be stronger? Then if you come closer to yourself in a micro rather than a macro look, you notice that the community itself is not that strong. And the families themselves are not that strong. And the individual Muslim is not that strong. So in the face of this widespread weakness, what can we do to be stronger? Allah Azza wa Jal in the Quran, He said, خُذُوا مَا أَتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَّةٍ. Take what we have given you, what we have revealed to you with strength. And that means hold on to it. And you hold on to something because you believe it's valuable. And the more valuable you believe that thing is, the stronger your grip is going to be. So if you believe that this is the best thing out there for you and everyone that you know, you will not let go of it. So when Allah said, hold on to it firmly, He means take it seriously. Know what is in it. And if you know what is in it, you will never let go of it. Take it wholeheartedly. Not in parts. Without restrictions. Implement all of it without hesitation or delay. Be enthusiastic about it. Believe that your well-being in the dunya and the akhirah lies in it. If someone were to tell you, as an example, if you were to do A, B, and C, you're going to be a millionaire, you're going to be a billionaire, and you're someone who loves money, you will follow that advice every single day. In fact, it will change how you live. Because if you believe in it and you value the goal, you'll follow the advice. Now, if you believe that your value, your success lies in what Allah has revealed, and nothing is better than that, you will hold on to it more than anything else in your life. So Allah said, take it seriously. Because your prosperity, your success is in it. And that is a command that Allah had given the prophets of Allah Azza wa Jal, and He had given their followers as well. He told Musa alayhi salam, فَخُذْهَا بِقُوَّةٍ, referring to the tablets that Allah had given to him. Take it seriously. Take it with strength. Take it with commitment. And he told Yahya alayhi salam, يَا يَحْيَا خُذِ الْكِتَابَ بِقُوَّةٍ. Yahya, hold on to the book firmly. You know how when you grab something and you hold it and you not let go of it? When you embrace it, bring it to your chest, and you don't believe yet you can live without it. That type of commitment, that type of relationship should exist between you and what Allah Azza wa Jal has revealed to Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. You do not believe that any other thought, any other ideology, any other choice, any other identification is superior to this. You don't put anything else, even yourself, ahead of it. Even your choice ahead of it. And we're an ummah, if you look at the ummah and how it ascended and then descended. We ascended, we climbed up when we believed that the Quran was the best book there is. And that the guidance of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam was the best guidance. And both of them deserve our lives. And when we gave our lives to them, Allah gave us life back. Allah gave us honor. Allah gave us protection. Allah gave us guidance. Allah gave us love between the believers. Allah protected us from our enemies. Allah guided us out of confusion. But this only happens when we sacrifice. And we sacrifice only when we believe that something is valuable. It's worth sacrificing for. You say, well, how can we hold on to something firmly? You look at us, we sometimes complain as individuals. It's hard to hold on to the truth. I feel alone. I feel abandoned. It's too much, it's too challenging. Too many temptations, too much opposition. Not a lot of support. And we look at us also as families or as an ummah. It's the same complaint, it is just too much. And if we surrender to that idea, we will continue to be weak for the rest of our lives and the lives of our children and any foreseeable future as long as we have surrendered to that idea. We have to build from the bottom up. You can't wait for somebody else to come and save you. No one is coming to save us, right? No one is coming to save us except Allah Azza wa Jal. And through obedience to Allah Azza wa Jal ourselves, we are going to save ourselves with Allah's help. So it has to be built from the bottom up, from each individual deciding that it is my individual personal responsibility towards the ummah to be better. Because if I am weak, then the entire structure is weak. If I give myself excuses, it's okay to do some haram. It is okay to stray away from Allah Azza wa Jal. It is okay to doubt the Quran or reject some of its commands or the Sunnah and the guidance of Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam, as some of his commands. It's okay to do this. If you are weak, you give yourself license to be that, and your neighbor and your friend give their self license to be that, then that whole row, that whole brick wall is weak. And if you're weak, then the entire structure is weak. How do you hold to the book firmly if you do not know what is in the book? And so the first step is ilm, knowledge, strength in knowledge, quwwatul ilm. You're not going to value something if you don't know what it is. You're not going to respect it. You're not going to love it if you don't know what the Quran has for you. And you love it because of it. If you don't value what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had asked you to do for your own benefit in detail, not in general terms, but in detail, and then you decide that is better for me than whatever other ideology or thinking outside. If there is ever a contradiction, I believe Allah Azza wa Jal, and I believe His Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. I will not structure my life based on what other people have thought. I will not divide based on nationalism or tribalism, because Islam came and melted all these differences away. If you value your color more than Islam, there's jahiliyyah in you. You're a person with jahiliyyah. If you say, because I'm white or because I'm black or whatever color it is, I am better than the other, you have jahiliyyah in you. Be satisfied with that. Don't defend it. You're weak. Accept your weakness. Don't brag about it. If you believe that because of your tribe, you're better than somebody else, you have jahiliyyah in you. You're weak. Don't brag. Accept that you are weak. Except that you are a tool of the shaitan if you want to spread that type of belief. When Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam came, people had tribes. And the Prophet's intent was not to erase that identification, but to subjugate that identification to Islam. You can maintain your tribal connections, but they're not supreme to Islam. So and so from another tribe, if he's more obedient to Allah Azza wa Jal, should be more beloved to you and closer to you than someone from your own family who's disobedient to Allah. Isn't that clear? And Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam put forth the best example when he said, أَلَا إِنَّ آلَ بَنِي فُلَانَ لَيْسُوا لِي بِأَوْلِيَاءَ أَلَا إِنَّ وَلِيِّيَ اللَّهُ وَصَالِحُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. He said, the family of so-and-so, the clan of so-and-so, and he's referencing people in Quraysh, he's in his own tribe. He says, they're not my allies, they're not close to me. My ally is Allah Azza wa Jal and the righteous believers. They're not close to me just because we speak the same language, we eat the same food, we've come from the same lineage. That does not matter. The choice that you make, if you're obedient or not, close to Allah or not, that's the thing that matters. So if you're going to put your gender before Islam, you have jahiliyyah in you. If you're going to structure your life based on gender, I'm a woman first and then I'm Muslim, or I'm a man first and then I'm Muslim, you have jahiliyyah in you. Any other identification should melt away and Islam should come first. And that's how you think about yourself and the world around you. And when you know, when you understand what Allah has to offer you and what the Prophet ﷺ has to offer you, then you could look at other ideologies and then wonder and think and be critical. Liberalism, neoliberalism, capitalism, socialism, communism, feminism, anti-feminism, whatever it is, you're not going to simply accept it uncritically. You're not going to accept what popular culture feeds you, but you take it and you analyze it and you are analytical, critical of what they have in light of what you know. And if you don't know, then you'll be ignorant. That's why we have to have strength in knowledge. And I'm going to tell you, Jum'ah is not enough to provide that. Half an hour a week is going to teach you your religion. It's going to give you all the information that you need to fight every single day. We need much more than that. So if you're a person who's taking his religion seriously, then what are you doing to learn your Islam? In the masjid, online, from authentic sources, but what are you doing to learn your Islam? Otherwise, you're defenseless. Now, second to knowledge is implementation. Not to simply learn, but to learn it and then do what with it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, خُذُوا مَا آتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَّةِ وَاسْمَعُوا. Take what we have given you firmly, seriously, emphatically, and listen. The people of the book, what did they say? سَمِعْنَا وَعَصَيْنَا. Yeah, we hear, but we disobey. But the Muslims who were successful, who were strong, who were beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. Yes, we hear and we obey. And without restriction, without hesitation, without partition of the Sharia, without saying, I like this and I hate that, I submit to all of it. Because only then would Allah Azza wa Jal elevate you all. But if you just take some and you reject some, there'll be humiliation upon the Ummah of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam until they quit that. The other thing to keep in mind, خُذُوا مَا أَتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَّةِ وَاذْكُرُوا مَا فِيهِ. Remember what is in it. That is continuous remembrance. Continuous remembrance. Because as soon as you will leave the masjid, in an hour or two, you'll start to forget. And if the khutbah increased or happened to increase your iman, it'll start declining when you leave. So what is the next remembrance? When will it come next? Will you wait another week? Or will it come tomorrow? Or will it come next month? If you do not remember the truth that you have, you will not be committed to it. So remember it. And because of that, you need to do several things. You need to be in the house of Allah Azza wa Jal. You need to come. You need to attend the halaqas and the study circles. You need to be around Muslims who will remind you and make you strong because they're around you. You need to quit the company of those who weaken you internally and externally because they disobey Allah Azza wa Jal. They anger Him and so they drag Allah's anger to you. They bring it closer to you. So you stay away from what weakens you, and you stay closer to what strengthens you, and you keep the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal on your tongue as often as you can. The dhikr of Allah, the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, you feel that you're going to be lost and abandoned and weak if you don't remember Allah Azza wa Jal. So you keep it close to you, on your tongue, close to your ears. And this is how you be strong. And interestingly, subhanAllah, Allah Azza wa Jal said in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ يُمَسِّكُونَ بِالْكِتَابِ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةِ إِنَّا لَا نُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُصْلِحِينَ. He says, those who hold firmly to the book and establish the salah, we do not waste the reward of the reformers or the righteous. He said in the tafsir, يُمَسِّكُونَ, that emphatic emphasis on holding to the book. It says because it's a renewed commitment. It's not just to hold once, but يُمَسِّكُونَ, for them to keep holding on and on every single day, and to hold on to all of it, because they are going to be challenged. They are going to be attacked in the process. They may at some point find themselves alone. When others abandon the truth and they have a choice, am I going to follow the truth because it's the truth, or will I follow the truth because it's fashionable, because everybody's doing it, because it's easier at that point? No, يُمَسِّكُونَ بِالْكِتَابِ is every single day it's a commitment. I will do it despite what other people are doing or not doing. I will do all of it. And this is what I will do even if I find myself alone. But eventually Allah Azza wa Jal will give you strength. But the commitment, the desire needs to be there. And if we understand and we implement and we remember and we don't give up, even if you find yourself alone, because you say to yourself, as long as one person is holding on to the truth, Allah Azza wa Jal will give it light and give it strength eventually. Your challenge and my challenge, your commitment and my commitment should be to the truth, even if we stand alone. Even if there seems to be no hope, because our hope comes from Allah Azza wa Jal, not from people, but from Allah Azza wa Jal. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله رب العالمين حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه ملء السماوات وملء الأرض وملء ما شئت من شيء بعد وأصلي وأسلم على رسوله محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد. Another point to keep in mind is how we relate to each other and talk to each other and discuss and dispute and debate and what types of manners we bring. And how we may be failing the ummah and failing each other, and how we talk to each other and think about each other. And what I mean by that is Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ. He says, obey Allah and His Messenger and do not dispute, for then you will fail internally, وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ, externally you will be weak. So if you do this munaza'ah, you will lose strength internally, meaning you will be cowards on the inside and weak on the outside. And this munaza'ah, this dispute, has two meanings. The first is to dispute with Allah and His Messenger. The command comes, the obligations, the prohibitions, you dispute that. And Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that if you were to dispute that which is the cause and reason of your strength, of course you're going to be weak. That is the only thing that is making you strong. If you're going to reject it, you will languish in weakness. So don't do this type of munaza'ah, dispute, rejection. There's another type of munaza'ah with it, which is between each other. Of course, we're always going to have different points of view. We're always going to have people of different levels of knowledge and understanding and commitment and backgrounds, etc., etc., etc. The thing here is, how do you maintain a balance between stating, speaking the truth and maintaining the unity and the integrity of the ummah? And some people lean on one at the expense of the other, and we should maintain a balance between the two. Some people, they will, for the sake of just speaking the truth, alienate scores and scores of Muslims in how they talk and how they present and how they dispute, in their bad manners, in how they suspect others, and how they malign and attack them, all in the name of the truth. Not realizing that you're creating fictions and divisions between the ummah, between people. And that is wrong. And when you note how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam maintained that balance, you'll understand that both are important. And some people lean heavily on the other side. We need all to be united. We need all to be together. So for that, they suppress the truth. And that is a mistake as well, because the thing that keeps us together and gives us strength is not a bunch of people coming together. It is Allah Azza wa Jal. And it is He who brings people. He who guides them. Not their simple desire to be together. So we need to have that munaza'a. If it's to happen, to be ruled by etiquettes, by manners, by adab. And best of adab, فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. If you dispute, if you disagree, where do we take that disagreement? He says, take it to Allah and the Messenger. If they are supreme, let go of your ego. You don't have to be right. He says, Shafi'i, rahimahullah, and he used to talk and he used to debate and he used to present. But he said, whenever I would debate, whenever I would dispute with someone, I would love that they would reach the truth on their own without me. And he would say, I wish that everybody would know the truth that I know without them having it or learning it from me. I want them all to know it. It's not about ego. It's not about me being right. And he also said, rahimahullah, he said, whenever I would debate someone and they are wrong, and they admit that they are wrong, he says, they will increase in nobility in my eyes because I know that they are a good person. They can see that they made a mistake and say, I made a mistake. He says, I know that they are noble. And whenever I talk to someone and they make a mistake and they stubbornly cling to it and refuse to admit their mistake, he says, I lose respect for them. It's not, the issue is not about making mistakes. The issue is about what? How stubborn you are in holding on to falsehood. So if you want to talk to someone, if you want to dispute with someone, if you want to present something to someone, is it about you or is it about what pleases Allah Azza wa Jal? If it is about you, please don't talk. You're not helping. If it is about Allah Azza wa Jal, proceed. And that is a good thing to keep in mind whenever you're going to have a disagreement between you and your wife, you and your children, you and your parents, you and your friend. Why are you disagreeing with them? For Allah? For the truth? Or you just simply want to win? If it's simply just winning, be quiet. Be quiet. Allah Azza wa Jal will send the truth to you. But if it's an issue about the truth being revealed, then be compassionate. Be kind. Pave the way for them to accept the truth, not to reject it. Make it easier for them to follow it, not to run away from it. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us among the strong on this earth. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us of those who hold firmly to His book and to the sunnah of his Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to teach us what's in the Quran and the sunnah, and to give us commitment to what is in the Quran and the sunnah above anything else. We ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who aid and help the ummah of Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام, to make us a cause for its victory and elevation, not a cause for its weakness and disgrace. We ask Rabbil Alameen to send victory to any Muslim who is oppressed on the face of this earth. Ya Allah, Ya Rabbil Alameen, we ask you that you would quickly come to the aid of our brothers and sisters in Gaza, in Palestine, in Bilad al-Sham, in As-Sudan, and every other spot on the corners of this earth where a Muslim is suffering, Ya Rabbil Alameen. We ask you, Ya Rabbil Alameen, to clothe them and feed them, to treat those who were injured, to take care of their orphans and widows, to give them shelter, Ya Rabbil Alameen, to give them protection from the plots of their enemies and their bombs. Ya Azizu, Ya Hakim, we ask you that you repel the aggression of the aggressors. Ya Allah, repel the aggression of the aggressors. Ya Allah, repel the aggression of the aggressors. Ya Allah, forgive us all of our sins and the sins of the rest of the Muslims, and protect us from all fitan, Ya Rabbil Alameen, those that we know about and those that we do not know about. Allahumma atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulubi thabbit qulubana ala dinik. Allahumma ya musarrif al-qulubi sarrif qulubana ala ta'atik. Allahumma a'inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Allahumma nas'aluka al-ikhlas wa na'udhu bika min ash-shirki kullih. Allahumma nas'aluka al-ikhlas wa na'udhu bika min ash-shirki kullih. Allahumma nas'aluka al-ikhlas wa na'udhu bika min ash-shirki kullih. Allahumma nas'aluka rabb al-alamin an tulsil rahmatika wa barakatika ala ahli ash-sham ya rabb al-alamin. Allahumma kun lahum wa la takun alayhim ya arhamar rahimin. Allahumma at'imhum wa asqihim wakfihim wa aawihim ya rabb al-alamin. Allahumma 'alayka bi 'aduwihim fa innahum la yu'jizunak. Allahumma 'alayka bi 'aduwihim fa innahum la yu'jizunak. Allahumma arina fihim 'ajaib qudratika wa khzihim ya rabb al-alamin. Ya hayyu ya qayyum bi rahmatika nastaghith. Aslih lana sha'nana kullah wa la takilna ila anfusina tarfata.